Well, hola, Antonio.
Hola, Alan. How are you?
I'm feeling good. Well, especially because I'm talking to you. It's been so long.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. It's been too long. And somehow, due to the various situation of the COVID and other stuff that happens, we let our conversation go by. But we're here, so that's the important thing now. And I'm very happy to be here with you.
Wait, so, there's a virus? I thought well, the president made it go away.
Yeah, me too. I had thought that originally. That sort of weird orange creature, right? You mean that person whom I shall not name.
Nope. And the orange chupacabra.
Yeah, the chupacabras. You remember that comic book that you bought here about the chupacabras? You still have it?
No, I actually mailed it to Jim.
Don't tell me. How lucky is that guy? Wow.
I know. But I used it for a while as a theme. I guess I had the idea of turning all my slacktivist art into sort of like a publication, but I think I was the only one fascinated by it.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about him, I still have a little box of VHS movies that I meant to mail him. I don't even remember where they are because they were in my office, almost ready to mail, but I changed office twice by now, and it must be in some box within another box. So I hope to reopen that couple of boxes soon, perhaps in January, and mail those.
I think I saw either in his blog that he's coming to the States, so you could maybe mail it to the Reclaim headquarters.
Well, no, I can't do that because let me tell you the story. I had changed office around February, and then the COVID came, so I just closed the door and went home. Yeah. Now, everything was in its place because I had the time between January and February to place all the books, all the files in their drawers, etc. Then the COVID came, and then the emergency sort of ended around July, and they asked me to move that office to a new space together with other faculty. Imagine how happy I was. But, you know, at least I was in the same boat together with a lot of people. So I had to pack everything back again. and imagine, I didn't do that with care. So I simply put everything in a rush inside boxes that they provided me, and then they moved everything into another office. And now it's everything in the new office. So I need to go there sometime later in the semester and unpack everything again. So, you know, I don't have any hurry. So I think that the movies will wait a little bit more because they are there somewhere. But, yeah, Jim will be there.
They've waited this long, right?
Yeah, they waited this long, and I doubt they will erase themselves unless a strong magnetic field. Well, I mean, all the things that are happening on this planet, I mean, that could happen too. Because, I mean, I have an anthology of a compilation of sci-fi movies going on since January of this year. So, I mean, the fires in California are really from a doomsday movie of the 70s or 80s. I don't know. Godzilla, it seems to me. Yeah. And not to talk about hurricanes and earthquakes here. We've had almost everything since the times of Maria. So it's really a gigantic wave of electromagnetic fields may suddenly, you know, hit our regions.
I would not be surprised. Yesterday, I forgot it. I noticed in the morning, but then it made sense. Our skies are hazy. So here in the middle of Canada, we're getting the smoke from the Pacific, and it's supposed to get. I think they see it in Ontario now. Last night when Corey and I were doing our walk, we were laughing. It's like, okay, there's pandemics, there's fires, there's politics. What's next? And then we both agreed it was aliens. Aliens are coming.
Well, at least with aliens. Yeah. But we have a chance that they may be benevolent towards us. We have that chance. So let's hope that the aliens will be like Spielberg imagined in some way. So I
don't know. I think they're like cruising in. They're decelerating around Jupiter. And they're starting to monitor the planet, and they're like, "Whoa, this place is messed up. Let's go somewhere else."
Exactly. Probably they're ignoring us. You know that there is some famous astrophysicist or astronomer who's a real name in that field, and he's. Advocating the idea that some alien spacecraft has almost just passed by our planet. And, you know, because some sort of measurements were off scale for some time. So he, like the other crazy idea that we might have a black hole at the end of our solar system. I don't know if you heard about it. It's another crazy idea. It might be true, but it's very unlikely, though. So, anyhow.
I know who we should send there to explore.
Yeah, the point is that there's no exploration there. Once you're close there, it's end of communications. So, it would be a very good ending.
There's a certain person who needs to go there, right?
Yeah.
Who shall not be named.
Definitely. You know, I'm a strong opponent to the death penalty, but they're really trying me hard on that area, you know. My convictions are really put to trial this time. Yeah.
Listen to that. So tell me what's... I haven't even kept up. Are you completely online at Sagrado now?
Yes. Well, okay. Sagrado has adopted the sort of five modalities that range from fully online to semi face to face. So we have my modalities. In this current semester is fully online actually it's called hybrid flexible, but it's fully online actually. I have once a week a video conferencing kind of meeting with students and then to comply with state regulation and middle state regulation that we have 45 hours in a 3-credit class. So I have a number of activities that I simply impose. I'm joking here. I'm sharing with students and that they can do them in some asynchronous way. Now, that's my modality. But at Sagrado, they have other courses that meet on campus at least once a week. For small groups. So they divide the full group in two or three segments, and then in rotation, each segment meet on campus. For instance, Sonia, my filmmaker friend, she goes on campus weekly because she has her student take some equipment and use it and learn how to use cameras and lenses and everything. So they need to meet there. It would be impossible to do else. in another way. So we have a sort of a mix. The library is open, but on appointment only. Mm-hmm. And the dorms are closed. So there's no campus life. And of course, students miss that. I talk to them often about this theme, and they tell me that they do miss the life on campus.
Yeah, I was curious to hear what your students are saying about their experience now, and how they feel about, you know, the education they're getting, and what they anticipate, just what are you hearing from your students?
Well, I have to say that I hear good stuff. My students have, at least the cohort of students I have now, and the cohort I had in between March and May, they're very bright young people, and they almost always have a smile in their face. You know, there's something that has to be said about the people here, as you know, that they're very self-reliant in the sense that they have been used to rely only on themselves. Because, I mean, the government probably is non-existent at this point. So they have that sort of optimism that is given them by their endurance, by their strength, and by their families and personal networks. So, and I think that, I'm pretty confident we'll have a nice semester. We just spent 1 month of classes, and so we have a long way to go. And I also hope to have a number of activities that we can improvise a little bit on all together in groups, projects, and other stuff that they can do some research on, etc. For instance, there is this movie that came out on Netflix recently, The Social Dilemma, I think. And it's a documentary on the effects of social media and the Cambridge Analytica and Facebook stuff. So it's a good... I haven't yet... Oh, lost connection. Wait a second. Alan, I think... I'm keeping the recording. Oh, sorry, Alan. I just disconnected for 10 seconds or so. And the problem was precisely because of the repeater. So I got attached to the extra frequencies, and somehow they went below a certain minimum, and so my connection went off for a few seconds. I'm sorry. So I didn't hear you, basically.
That's okay. You were dropping out, and I was trying to go, and I actually don't even know what's going to happen to the audio files. They might be completely out of sync right now. So our plan to make this like simple recording has just gone out the window.
Well, you know, let's tell the thousands of people who are listening to us currently that we are trying out this Zencastr system that records the various tracks independently, and so we shall investigate how then the tracks are remixed together, hoping that will be easy.
Yeah, it works out really well. I saw this a couple audio things I did with Terry Green.
Terry, yeah.
Yeah, and so he uses this for his productions. And I'm starting a new podcast, some of my projects with Open Education Global. And for those, we often have three or four people. And so I thought I'd give it a try. And it's been working great because people don't have to log into anything. they just show up and we start recording. And then
that's beautiful.
And then the files I have synced to my Dropbox. So I just check back and, like, you know, actually they show up pretty quickly. And I get a separate audio file for each speaker. I'm really liking what this does for doing the recording.
And then you host the recordings in your Dropbox?
No, I copy them over and then I do edit them in Audacity because I like to mix in the music.
Okay, and then you host them where? In the same Amazon AWS space?
No, the project I'm working on, the guy who runs the infrastructure doesn't see a problem with it, and I think that whole thing about, like, WordPress being problematic is only if, like, you get like viewers that are even more than ours.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a serious situation for the storage of the audio files. But yeah, you know, I'm glad it was worth it to learn how to do the Amazon Cloud thing for our podcast, even if you were costing me like 25 cents a month, you know.
Yes, I understand the financial burden is getting heavier and heavier every month, and hopefully will grow heavier still.
But yeah, I think we're going to need some major sponsorship. So I'm trying to line us up for some really good surveillance technologies.
Right, so, that could be a great idea. Actually, we have to try face reconnaissance. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole, you know, we need to be, while we're doing a podcast, we need to be capturing your video to make sure your expressions are genuine and authentic and that you're not cheating in the podcast.
Exactly. I mean, there's, let's not get into that, but a lot of people are enraged currently at all these artificial proctoring technology, and that's really unnerving. And
it is.
It's sort of bad. But you know, I mean, I like AI. I began my studies with it, so I'm sort of very much connected to that area. And but lately, there's been a spin out of almost control in some areas of AI. I don't subscribe to the Hawking position that it may be dangerous because the androids will conquer us, because that's very, very, very far. But we have already been conquered by that sort of technology that came out of a certain way of life, a philosophy from Silicon Valley and other places, actually. So the battle is almost lost already, except for a couple of outlaws that still keep on believing in the power of the nets. But
people who do this crazy syndication stuff and
indeed
run their own websites. Like, what are they
blogging? What are they thinking? I don't know, right?
That's never gonna catch on.
It's the 90s. So what are they thinking?
It's
really
just a bunch of people making diaries, you know.
Exactly. Diaries. Who reads diaries today?
Not me.
Not me either.
I don't want to write one either. What do I want to be writing a diary?
Why? Every day? Well, I will never. I will never reach that. How you call it? That commitment that you guys have. But that's another thing.
I
love it. And I, you know, talking about classes. With classes, I end up doing at least two posts a week, every week. Plus, I'm doing a Mike Wesch idea of recording every week a sort of audio summary of the week, etc. So I love doing that. I dedicate all my Fridays and Saturdays, at least a part of that, to doing that. So I post for each class. Unfortunately, the posts are similar, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. But I do that, and I do the audio file, a sort of a podcast, but not really that integrated with RSS and that and all that. So and I hope students like it. And I was telling you about the movie that I want to share with students. So we will use one of these add-on with Firefox and watch the movie all together one Friday or one Saturday. I don't know yet.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I hope that works. So tell me about your yard. You've been working a lot during the summer. You have a lot of things that you built, no?
Summer's over.
Yeah, summer's over, yes.
It's a change your cookie. Yeah, we cleared a big area out of the front, my wife and stepdaughter. And we did all the labor. Well, we had some of my wife's students help with removing some sod. And so we put down a brick patio to have a seating area out in front because we have nice sunset views. And we have some bricks that came from one of Corey's students who has a farm, gave us some old bricks. And then we found an antique place that had these bricks that were like over 100 years old. So it's got a very rustic look to it.
Nice.
And then we just cleared a wide area to have sort of a natural vegetation area instead of suburban grass. So we've got prairie grass and wildflowers and roses. We go out to the field across the street from us and we dig up sagebrush and cactus. There's cactus here.
Beautiful. Wow.
So yeah, we did that. Early in the spring, I built two garden boxes. So I had vegetable gardens, which are now gone because of the first frost.
Sure.
But we got a lot of herbs out of there and one monster squash plant, which took over everything.
Ah, great.
And then just we have a lot of wildflower areas. So we've planted a lot of trees. We want to have like turn it into a little forest in our backyard.
I love your flower photos that you share on Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, flower and other stuff, but the flower particularly, they're always very nice. And I'm amazed at the variety that you have. Well, why am I amazed? I mean, nature is amazing on its own. So, but still, it's beautiful. I love that. And I don't know if it's the algorithms or it's whatever, but as soon as I open Instagram, I do that every night before going to sleep and before reading some narrow books. I open that, and the first thing it comes out is always a photo of yours. So that's that's pleasant because they're usually beautiful photos. But
well,
since we are already more or less going over the 20 minutes mark, let me tell you something about this thing that you posted on Twitter. One a day until the day I die. That's wonderful. That's
I know.
It really struck me. What is that, Alan? Tell us.
For some reason, I saw it come up. I don't usually look at my general timeline, but sometimes I do. And I guess I was following this account. And so but I never looked at it. Well, whoever got there, I clicked on a tweet. So apparently the person who creates it's a software developer. And in 2005, I guess he started this thing of writing every day a 100-word story. And somewhere early on, he decided he would record it in audio. And he's been doing it every day since then. I think the funny part was he described in the beginning that a bunch of people did this challenge that they would do it. And then it was called the 100-Day Les Nessman Challenge. There's a reference to the old show WKRP in Cincinnati. Mm. And so the first person who like missed the day, the punishment was they'd have to write a story about Les Nessman. I'm not sure I understand it, but anyhow, this person's been doing it since 2005. And he's just said, like, I said I was going to do this one day until I die, and I'm not dead.
That's beautiful, indeed. That is such a beautiful idea. I mean, it's pure blogging at its extreme consequences, in a way, right?
Yeah.
I love these initiatives.
Yeah, and I think he does a weekly challenge, so I think other people, like, pick up his challenge. And so, I mean, yeah, you should be able to write 100 words a day. I mean, we probably write many more words a day in that if you combine all the time we spend writing emails and social media. But, you know, you make this dedication and you do it in a domain of your own. And it's your thing. And
sure.
And so, yeah, he says he's got the longest daily podcast going on the internet. He challenges anyone to prove otherwise. He's got a great sense of humor, like very sarcastic. And so I just enjoyed, and I think you know this, but it's probably the best thing that happens is when you just, for some reason, you click a link or you just look at something, you just don't know why, but you just say, I'm going to look at this. And then you just find some magical gem of unexpectedness.
Exactly.
And that
wonderful word in the English language that has no equivalent, neither in Spanish nor Italian, it's serendipity. I think it's really beautiful. And it I think, at least from, I'm not a mother speaker, but I think it conveys the idea that you're talking about, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. In fact, I think I have a tag on my blog called Web Serendipity. So there's no word in Italian or Spanish that really captures that essence.
Not that I know of. You know, you can construct perhaps something with a couple of words, but I'm not aware of such a synthetic way of expressing that idea. And it's a very powerful thing that the networks and the it's a sort of like an emergent property of networks that we all have been sharing, and we sometimes don't realize that, but it's very powerful. I think I love it.
It's what I live for. Well, not what I live for. It's the thing that keeps me going because
it
continues to happen despite, as bad as people say, the internet is for disinformation and how toxic and the trash fire that Twitter and other social media are. That I think, as always, we forget that underneath all that garbage is some good soil.
I mean, and what else can be the internet more or less than the garbage that's already in the atomic world? So I don't want to say to use the rhetoric that the internet is a mirror, because it's not necessarily so, but everything human somehow has those two components, and those are on the internet too. And we don't have a key on how to read that. And that's the big issue. Yet we haven't developed the needed skills to navigate the web and to, I think, at least what I see the usefulness of the courses I do, I don't want to sound arrogant there, but I believe that these kind of courses are pretty much needed in for students to get a grasp of the digital world and to see its two faces and its two major components, you know, the good stuff and the less good stuff.
And you're talking my language, because I've always felt like that you can't have everything good without the possibility for everything. That's like the complete opposite of that.
Exactly.
And I still see and read people who seem to think there's a possibility to have one without the other.
Exactly. It would probably be a very weird world, one in which only the good happens. It would be very, very weird. Actually, in that case, we would need to define something not good to live and to appreciate what is good. So
wasn't that the Truman Show?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know. I don't know either.
That the website for that, I promise, I or you will put that on written if it's the only thing that we write down, one day until the day I die .com is the URL. So that could be something that is worth conserving and sharing, right?
But we're not going to take like a ton of time to write up all the summary of the show.
No,
I'll take this one, and I don't know what should be the challenge for the turnaround time to publish this.
Well, I don't know, Alan. In this case, I would like you to show me the way so that I can learn how to use this Zencastr, and from that, so I will do that on turns. So you do this first, and then I do the second, etc. So the turnover can be quick.
And yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. Yeah, basically, you create a free account so you can set up a session.
Okay,
and you. You basically just create a space for a new recording. So, you know, that's why, and I gave it a name, and then that becomes the link that you share with me when you're ready to invite.
Okay.
I set my account up so it's synced with my Dropbox. So that's where the audio files end up. And I have an Audacity template that I've used for our shows that more or less has the intro music and the outro music. And I just slip in our audio in between, and we're planning not to edit, right? We're just going to leave all the flaws and the hiccups. Well, I don't know what will happen with that bit that dropped out. I'm curious to see.
Yeah, but I agree with that. Let's try not to edit, and then see what happens. I mean, I like to experiment like you.
I know so. That.
Yeah,
that's why I like hanging out with you, Antonio.
Likewise. Listen, there was another stuff that I'm sure you're you know about, and I want to share anyhow for the masses that listen. And it's I just enrolled myself in this sort of seminar forum, I don't know how to call it, Why Technology Alone Can't Transform Education by Justin Reich.
Okay.
Failure to Disrupt is the book that he just published. And I think that there is Audrey Waters going there, and George Simmons too, among a bunch of people, Resnick from MIT. He's the one whose group sort of developed the computer language Scratch, if I'm correct.
Yes.
I guess it just to say I'm sure we'll meet there. I hope you can. I don't have now the dates for some reason. They don't appear here.
I think it's set up like a online book club of some sorts. But yeah, that's quite a powerful series that Justin has. I like Justin a lot. I worked with him on a I did a syndication project with him, and we did a couple of workshops at the DML conference. And he's very thoughtful, and he's smart, and He's really, you know, a caring person. So I definitely support the work that he's doing.
Well, I just follow him and happen to see a retweet, I think, by Audrey or somebody else who just said something about this. And I like the idea that beyond the book, there's also a sort of interactive event like the one is organizing. So I hope I can participate. I am I registered. I have a very limited schedule because I haven't told you yet. I am also involved in a huge IT project. Through my company, so that's very interesting, and we are at the beginning moment, so it's very time consuming. And between my students and the regular work, etc., and that it's very very hectic, but very very interesting. And so I like to enjoy this opportunity too. So,
well, that's, I think maybe we can save that topic for our next podcast, or maybe it's hush hush, but we can, I'd certainly like to talk about it.
Okay, sure. That would be great. Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, well, this is our 13th episode. So I have a question for you. Do you feel
go
lucky?
On, go ahead.
Do you feel lucky?
Yeah, well, actually, I do. That's a double-sided coin. I'm always an optimist. I can't think differently, and that can be some good thing and some bad thing at times, but I feel lucky. And actually, I think I am, by any objective measure, I am. So I'm very lucky to being able to work at this time of mess in the world, and to be healthy, and to have a family, and to have friends, and to share with such great people I'm around with, and so I'm very lucky. I mean, I one of the things that we, as my wife and I, love about this situation is the fact that we are all together with our two daughters now at home, and it's very nice, even in the moments of tension that inevitably happen. But it's very nice to being able to share as adults, because now they're adults. So it's an entirely new story, and that's another reason why I feel so fortunate, so lucky. Indeed.
And well, first of all, I love it when you talk about effusively that you're an optimist, and I like and respect that. And I've had my optimism tested, as I'm sure you've had, and also I know what you're saying too, because you know, the lockdown has also made it so my wife and I and her daughter came home after finishing her degree at UBC, and so she's with us, and she's starting her first year of grad school, but we wouldn't have had all this time together without this thing going on. So we see the positives in that too, which is kind of the thing that helps you get through if you spend a little bit too much time doing the doom scrolling of the news.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the pandemics, of course, takes a toll, and even in an optimist, it does take a toll. And so in a way, of course, family, the people that one loves are help. Even with the moments that, of course, we have less freedom, and we just finished the lockdown here, so we can move around more or less freely with a mask, with a face mask, etc. But we still are doing a lot of stuff inside our house. So something is beginning to worry me, because before, for instance, I used to walk every day. I went to university on foot and came back on foot, and I'm not doing that, and I'm spending the full day on at a chair and working on a table. So I move very little these days, and I need to step out of this pattern and really do something.
So I have seen, though, your Instagram pictures had some pictures of the beach.
Yeah, indeed. I go there, but it's so close that it actually doesn't qualify as walking. You see,
I know that walk, and I'm going to say I'm very lucky, because we happened to meet through colleagues, and then we had the opportunity to do some visits, and then I'm so lucky for that month that you set up for me to spend time with you.
Oh, I'm so glad we did. Yeah, I'm so glad we did. It really was a wonderful time. And I hope some other opportunity comes along to repeat that in one way or the other. I would love that. Indeed. But you do walk a lot with Corey, right? You do that every day.
We do the walks. We have our walks every day, and we have a country road that's a wonderful, beautiful walk, and it's very serene, and we get out for some of our hikes. I'm lucky. I'm lucky there too. So
yeah, that's true.
We're lucky optimists.
We're lucky optimists indeed. Yep.
Okay, I think we should wrap so I can maybe edit this and see if I can get this posted in 2 days.
Oh, that would be great. But I mean, don't take that pressure in. Simply, I mean, as it comes along, let's have this point of view of having a sort of, don't say fixed, but fixed frequency, more or less, that we can arrange for us. It's nice to converse, and the idea to record the conversation and to put them online is a great idea, I think.
Okay. So, many, many thanks. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, Alan.
Very, very right, Antonio.
Okay, so to the next one.
To the next one, 14.
And beyond.
And beyond. Cue the music.
All right. Bye-bye, Alan.